We're here on KSOM, and we're talking high school football. What an impressive victory for Audubon over Cam. Don't usually see a one-sided score like that in that rivalry. On to the next challenge for the Wheelers as they get ready for Fremont Mills. Audubon head coach Sean Burks joins me now. And Coach, how are you feeling about your football team coming off that big win over the Cougars?
Yeah, we like where we're at right now. I mean, anybody that's 4-0 is going to be happy with that. But more than anything, I like the process that we've gone through. You know, our kids have done a really good job of being ready to go from the get-go. You know, have been locked into our game plan. You know, and I've said it all summer, I said it all fall. But this group seems like something special in the way they prepare, the way they work together. You know, we had some, you know, each week there's different things we're trying to do or trying to see, and our kids have done a great job of doing that. So we're happy. We're pretty healthy. But once again, and we've talked to our kids about it, it gets tougher every week, you know, from Arweva to Cam, and then from Cam to FM, you know, as far as district seeds and records and whatnot, you know, this is our biggest test yet.
No doubt. How do you just feel about your wealth at quarterback? I mean, Carson Wessels, pretty much the starter from last year, he gets hurt. He can't win the job back because Aiden Kiergaard keeps doing amazing things. So, I mean, you're in a position where a lot of other teams wish they had. They had two, you know, pretty much spectacular quarterbacks. Is it tough to see how you're going to utilize that in the future?
Not really. You know, they're two team-first kids. They're two tremendous athletes. They're also two tremendous human beings, and they want what's best for the team. You know, and Carson was banged up early. Now he's healthy. But Aiden and Carson are just built a little bit different. Aiden's a little bit better at getting to the edge, you know, a little bit better, a little more accurate on the underneath stuff. Carson's a little more physical running downhill and can push it vertical in the pass game. So they both give us different things, but they can both run the whole offense. You know, we can, any play call can be run through either quarterback. And we've had years where, you know, I'll go way back in the Skylar Schultes, Gavin Smith era where, when Gavin was a freshman or sophomore and you know, he would come in to throw the ball and Skyler was in there, he ran the ball a lot. You know, we kind of did the same thing with Carson and Aaron for a little bit where Carson was throwing and Aaron was running. You know, and that's, it's nice to have those options, but defenses can kind of key on that stuff where right now it's really just play the hot hand and also play the fresh body. You know, Aiden's playing defense and some special teams, Carson a little bit of offense and special teams. But you know, Carson's our next linebacker and our next DB in. So should he be needed, he's ready to go to be fresh on that side of the ball, which has helped us a little bit. Because last year we really didn't want to play Carson on defense, try to keep him healthy for offense. Now they can both play both ways because if the other one needs a breather on one side, we can go do that. So we understand how lucky we are, and I'm really fortunate because right now if one of them cracks off a long run or whatever it might be, we can just send the next play in with the next quarterback, and it's really, really nice to be able to talk to them on the sideline when they're not in.
Yeah, well, I was so impressed also with Mason Casper Bauer. I mean, he had some huge holes to run through, but you still got to go through them. And I kind of said he has what I call football speed. And I think he's just amazing at hitting those holes, finding them. And then I think his smallest run last week was maybe 10 or 11 yards. What can you say just about what Mason brings to you in his explosive burst and ability to hit that hole?
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing about the way Mason runs is just that vision. You know, he just has a feel for it. You know, he knows when to stay in behind a blocker. He knows when to put his foot in the ground to get vertical. He doesn't do a lot of dancing. You know, he runs downhill with good lean, but yet he has some track speed there when he's out in the open field to run away from people. So yeah, I saw it when he was in middle school and junior high. He just has the natural hips and feet. He just has a natural feel for it. And he gets it, you know, and with our offense, it's really built really well for him right now to follow pulling guards or whoever it might be that's moving at the time where, you know, if there's a kick out or a wrap or, you know, someone trying to get to the third level on a safety, he does a good job of feeling when and where and how to set those blocks up. And I think that's the most important thing for him is, you know, he's not just an athlete where he can make us as coaches or blockers, you know, irrelevant. There were some times in the last couple of years where Aaron Olson would just go make a play and you're like, wow, there's not a lot of kids that can do that. Mason's such a good fit for our offense because he understands the scheme. He understands what needs to happen. and really does a good job of following his blockers. And he's got some good kids right now blocking for him. You know, Austin Christensen and Brody Weber at the skill position, creating some seams, and then allows, you know, Soli and Lane to get up going, you know, as pullers that can get out in the open field. So, yeah, the way Mason understands those blocks is really, really important, and he's done a great job.
Yeah, and he's only a sophomore. It's incredible. He's come a long way in a short amount of time. But maybe the biggest story of the game last week was your defensive front and getting pressure on Cam's quarterback. Hayden Larson and Isaac Sorensen and Brody Weber up front. What can you say just about those three? And then, you know, and then your linebackers were right behind them. They were just in the backfield the entire game, it seemed like.
Yeah, you know, Cam was a little, undermanned up front going into the game. They'd move some guys around, and then Drew Barber's accident last week took another guy off the O-line. So we were just bigger than they were at all three spots, and that's tough. I've been in those shoes before too, when you feel like it's not going to matter what you call, you're not going to have much time to get it done. So credit to our guys up front. I thought they did a really good job of doing their job. And Hayden and Isaac were only playing defense last week intentionally. Hayden's played some offense. We decided to let Soli get the full start and all the offensive reps with the ones. So, we trot in Soli, Lane, and Clay on the offensive line, and then they all three come out on defense, and we bring in Isaac and Hayden. Brody Weber is the only one that plays both ways up front, so to speak. And so to keep bodies like that with that size and athleticism to be fresh, I think it really showed last week where they just had that burst and they had a tough time containing them, which helps the guys in the back end. You know, Carter and Austin are able to find the gaps and fill it at linebacker. And then the back, Jorgen, Mason, and Aiden at DB, they didn't have to cover Bauer for 3 to 5 seconds. It was pretty much, if it didn't come out right away, it wasn't coming out. So it really does, when the D-line does that, it allows those other five guys to do their jobs. Five sacks. I think we had double-digit TFLs. Those aren't numbers we see a lot. We don't dial up a lot of blitzes. So that's what's impressive, is we're doing it with just the three guys up front for the most part.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were a lot of eight-man teams that would love to two-platoon, but they just don't have the wealth of numbers, and you don't miss a beat when you bring in those O-linemen in and then bring in the D-linemen and only have one guy going both ways in Weber and in Christensen as well. Moves in as incredible, just incredible. So Fremont Mills this week, I understand that they've had an injury with that Jonathan Ekpai, but they did crush Waco last week, get back on the winning track. What do you see this week about the Knights?
They're multiple. They're about through 4 weeks. I think they're almost exactly 50-50 in run pass, depending on the situation in the game. We throw out some of the JV reps when they're ahead big in games. So you look at their stats, and I think they've thrown 73 passes and run for 102 times. But a lot of that chunk of those 102 is also some JV numbers in there. It's really closer to pretty 50-50. And then when they throw the ball, they've got, I think, five kids with multiple catches, four kids with pushing 100 to 200 yards, and they all have a touchdown. I think the thing that jumps out to me is they're hard to game plan for, because they're multiple. They run a ton of formations. They run a ton of different stuff. Their passing concepts aren't just some basic trees where, they're going to be verts or curls or floods. They run a ton of variations of things. And it looks to me like they game plan specifically week to week on how to attack that. So really well coached. It jumps off film how fundamental they are, how well coached they are. When they've got the ball on offense, the Forney kid at quarterback is also a capable runner, and he can push it at all three levels of throws. The Lincoln Hoker kid out at tight end or receiver, depending where they put him, is a matchup nightmare just because he's 6'3 to 6'4 and runs so fluidly. And then the Reed kid at tight end is, 250 pounds, 6'4, 6'5, whatever he is. He can really, use his body to box you out or go make some jump balls against some smaller DBs. And you start keying on the pass and drop into your zones. And the Campbell kid at tailback that's taken over Ekpai is really explosive. He's maybe 5'5", 150 to 160 pounds, just a little guy, but he's super quick, kind of a scat back type, where if he hits the opening and gets to the edge, he's going to be explosive. So I think that's the key this week is really try, you know, it's kind of coach speak of alignment and assignment and doing your job, but this week more than any week, because we're not going to just overpower them physically like we have some teams. We're not going to have such great game plan going in. You know, there's some teams we played this year that we had a pretty good tell based on formation, motion, play, what they were going to run. We really don't have those great tells this week. So it's going to be, you know, relying on our base rules and our base alignment and going out and playing football.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pieces that Fremont Mills has impressed me because I saw them against Cam, saw them last year, and they had just about everybody back from last year. But Mason Reed has got so much size and he runs well. You know, how do you match up with a kid like that? I thought maybe Cam would throw to Colin Bauer a little bit last week. They didn't. Bauer is kind of the same. Do you see Bauer as kind of the same mode as Reed in that they're both big guys who can move and become matchup problems for defenses?
Yeah, you know, the Lincoln Hooker and the Reed kid both, you know, they can both play tight end. They can both split out. You know, they're both 6'3 to 6'4. They're both athletes, and they're probably the favorite two targets at this point in time. The Sanchez kid is also a really dynamite athlete. You know, he's got three touchdowns on the year and, you know, seven catches, I want to say. But he's also leads them with, you know, interceptions and some other things. He's just all over the place on film. So to us, I don't think you can key on one guy. I don't think there's anything you have to try to take away. That's just not how we're built. We're not going to come out and throw out a new defense. Fremont Mills can draw up all their formations and they know how we're going to align to everything. I can about guarantee it. And that's okay with us. You know, there's some bend but don't break to our defensive style. We're going to keep a safety back as much as we can. We're going to trust our D linemen and linebackers are going to be gap sound, because when you start drawing up new things and reinventing things, kids play a little bit slower. They think a little bit more. They blow an assignment in 8-man football. It doesn't take much of a blown assignment to allow to explosive play. So if they split the Campbell kid out, or they split the Lincoln Hulker kid out, they split the Reed kid out, it's going to just, we'll have a corner out there. And if they're in the box, we'll have a linebacker or a safety on the box. So to us, it's going to be more of an August prep where it's almost like you're going into a week one game where sure, we know some things they're going to run. But we also have to know what our basic rules are, because when we've played them in the past, they've done a nice job of adding new wrinkles week to week because they're well coached. I mean, you think about programs over the last 15 years in 8-man, especially in Western Iowa, you know, FM jumps off the page as such a consistent team and a well-coached team. So we need to make sure we're just trusting in our day one basics of what's our alignment, what's our assignment, what's our coverage, what's our run gap, because they'll exploit it if we're not.
Well, a test to go down to Tabor, no doubt. And it will be an interesting football game. Coach, really appreciate your time and best of luck this week at Fremont Mills. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sean Burks, head coach for Audubon football, joining us here on KSOM.